First message today, we're going to have a split sermon today, and the first split will be brought to us by a gentleman who is a relatively new retiree, joining the ranks that my wife and I are in, Mr. Terry Robison.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Floyd, I just let you know I'm going to drink off the left side. So. Well, I don't have anything as clever to start out with as Mr. Collison did last week. I got no Bazooka Joe introductions. So you'll have to stick with old boring Terry here. So, well, the last time I spoke, I discussed the duality of the two groups of Israelites that left Egypt. I refer to them as version 1 and version 2. And one of my good friends asked me, after I got out speaking that week, if I was going to come up with a version 3. Couldn't come up with anything like that. But as we know, only one group would enter the promised land, and the other was denied access to the promised land. So today what I want to discuss, at least in part, is the promised land and beyond for the nation of Israel. As we know, God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt because of the promise he made to Abraham so long ago. And obviously, God had a soft spot for the descendants of Abraham in his heart. God also had a master plan vision for that nation, which I believe God knew deep down inside probably would not happen. So let's turn to the book of Exodus for a few moments. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Exodus 19, 3 through 6. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Well, this is what Israel could have had if they could have only kept a covenant with God. God promised the nation of Israel that they would have rest and freedom if they could just keep the covenant with him for several generations. And that is the title of my message today, brethren, is Rest and Freedom. Now, Joshua apparently had doubts that the nation would continue to follow God and obey him. He had watched the entire adult generation of Israel, minus Caleb and himself, wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they had all died. Well, the first test for the nation of Israel once they reached the promised land was the conquest of Jericho. So let's turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Excuse me. Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 17. Joshua 6:17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. We're talking about Jericho. It and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the cursed things. This is the important thing to hang on to. You, by all means, abstain from the cursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the cursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse. And this is also important. Remember that. Not just one person, but the camp would become a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and all the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now let's move down to verse 22. 22 of chapter 6. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman, and all that she has you swore to her. And the young men who had spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all the relatives and left them outside the camp. Now it's important that you realize that he left them outside the camp. And why? Is because they burned the city and all that was in it and with fire. So if they would have left them in the camp, obviously they would have been burned up with them. We read the warning about Jericho that Jacob, through God, had given to Israel. And it appeared, from what we read, that the nation did everything that Joshua commanded, didn't they? Or did they? It only took one person to disobey God, and unknown to Joshua, that would cause Israel problems very soon. Go to chapter 7 of Joshua, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the cursed things. Now, the cursed things were everything except for the things that God said to put in his treasury. So anything, didn't matter what it was. Things of for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the cursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Not just Achan, the whole nation. And even though one man disobeyed God's command, the entire nation of Israel felt the anger of the Lord. The sin of Achan is a great example for us to realize that not trusting God completely is a serious problem. And it affects more than just you. It can affect many other people. The clarification was so clear because God gave direct order. It was very direct. Don't take of any of the spoil or the cursed things as referred to. But Achan, he gave in to his weakness. And I'm sure this is what's going on in Achan's mind. He's thinking, in the heat of this battle, it's so small. It's just a little bit of spoil. Surely God wouldn't be upset with this. God would not object to this. It's just a little thing, just for me and my family. Well, Achan made a serious mistake. We all make this mistake. Achan forgot that God sees everything that we do. And God doesn't care how small the sin is. In our minds, some of our sins are small. But all sin comes with penalty. And we're going to pay a penalty for every sin we ever commit. And in many cases, others pay for the sins we commit. You know, it's sad because Achan saw the great power of God bringing down the walls of Jericho. And I don't know if you've done much research on Jericho, but Jericho was a huge fortress. It wasn't like a 3-foot fence around this city. This was a fortress that was almost impregnable, and God took it down. He also watched for 40 years all those that were over the age of 20 wander in the wilderness and then died. He watched them all do that. He also was one of the few select that was allowed to enter the promised land when so many of Israel were forbidden to enter the promised land and died before they got there. Now, I looked, trying to determine how old Achan was when he died. I couldn't find the answer to that question. And maybe somebody that knows you can tell me after. But Achan could possibly have been a child when Israel left Egypt, or a young teenager. And if that was true, that means, in addition to all the things I mentioned, Achan went through the 10 plagues. He went through the parting of the Red Sea. And those of us that are older, I know you all remember when you were young. I still remember when I was young. When you're young and you see incredible events occur, you don't forget them. Now, when you're my age, you see incredible events, and you forget them the next day because you can't remember anything. But when you're young, it's very impressionable. It stays with you. So Achan had all these memories of all these things that happened. And one would think that it would have been more than enough to convince Achan to obey every word that God commanded. In addition, his sin should have been a great testimony to the nation of Israel on how serious God was about obeying every single command that he gave them. Don't take any of the spoil. And because of it, God punished the nation of Israel on their first attack of Ai, or Ai, depending on how you want to pronounce it. All because of Achan's disobedience, the entire camp was cursed because of one man. And in that attack, Israel lost 36 men. And they didn't lose any, I don't think, in the attack on Jericho. So they were really reeling from the effects of the sin of Achan. Now, after Achan's sin was found out and his entire family was stoned, Israel went on easily to defeat Ai, and all the other nations that God told them to wipe out in the Promised Land as they were moving into it. And a lot of this happened because God used many methods to help the Israelites destroy the enemies that were in the area. He used bees and hornets and hail to help Israelites destroy the other nations, so that Israel didn't have to bear the majority of the battle and the fighting. Now, they did experience some of that. They did have to kill enemies. But you got to remember, Israel was a bunch of slaves. They had no military training. They had really no idea what it was to launch an attack, flank an enemy. But with God's help, all the nations that surrounded them only heard, wow, Israel's wiping out everybody. So their fame was growing. Well, God and Israel destroyed most of the people and their idols that existed within the Promised Land or the land of Canaan. And the Israelites were able to take over the cities and the orchards and the vineyards so they wouldn't have to start all over again. What a blessing that had to have been. Can you imagine this new group of people moving into this land and they've got cities built, they got orchards built, they got vineyards, they got houses to move in. They have a complete infrastructure right there for them to move in. What an incredible blessing. I mean, God did everything to make it easy for Israel to move in. Not only that, but God kept them isolated in that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness so that he could teach them his ways without distraction because they were alone. Their biggest distraction was, how am I going to cook my manna tonight? How many quail are we going to get tonight? And with all that, they still intermingled with the women and the religions in the land, and they eventually forsook the true God. They didn't heed the voice of Joshua to not mingle with the people left in the Promised Land. They became polluted with their gods, and they became too distracted to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Eventually, as we know, the 10 tribes broke into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. And eventually, those two kingdoms went into captivity. That same warning is here for our nation today and for each of us individually. God kept his promise to Abraham. He gave Israel a really long leash, and he allowed them to go through a lot of things before he allowed them to go into captivity. Well, we know Israel didn't have God's spirit, and that's a big part of the reason why they weren't able to keep the covenant with God. But Israel was given such a great opportunity to become God's model nation and have rest, the true rest and freedom that we all want. For several generations, they could have had that. At the end of Joshua's life, he gave a final declaration to the nation of Israel. So I'd like to turn to chapter 24 of Joshua. Joshua 24, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were in the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now let's see how Israel responded to that. Let's move to verse 22 of Joshua 24. Verse 22. So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now therefore he said, now this is such an incredible verse. "Now therefore he said, put away your foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, 'The Lord your God we will serve, and his voice we will obey.'" They answered and said they would serve him. But Joshua obviously mentioned that the foreign gods, even at this day, even at the end of Joshua's life, were already there. Joshua knew the nation was slipping, but fortunately many were encouraged by his declaration and affirmation. And Israel did serve the Lord for quite some time afterwards and did have a lot of that rest and a lot of that peace for a period of time and freedom. Now I want to move on to another example. It's a personal example about me. I think it's a parallel example to what I've talked about with Israel. And I think all of you know this. I'm a Dr. Pepper drinker. I don't think anybody's surprised by that, okay? And I've been drinking Dr. Pepper since I was a teenager. So that's a lot longer than many of you have been alive. And I have quit drinking Dr. Pepper a few times, even for several months at a time. And every time I thought I had it beat, someone would come up to me because maybe I did them a favor. And everybody seems, I must have a flag, I drink Dr. Pepper. But everybody knows I drink Dr. Pepper wherever I go. And they'd give me a Dr. Pepper or a six-pack. And, of course, I would drink it, right? Why not? And then the desire becomes strong again to have another one later. And on and on. And I'm back to drinking Dr. Pepper on a regular basis, right? I know how bad pop is, or any serious sweetening, sweet type food or beverage. I realize excessive consumption of pop and other sweets have contributed to many people's diabetes, obesity, and many other health problems. Just like Israel, I have no excuse. Israel had a problem with foreign gods. I had a problem with Dr. Pepper. Now, I started drinking a lot of iced tea in the last probably 10 years or so. Especially if I would go out to eat with somebody, you'll always see I always get iced tea. I never get Dr. Pepper. I'd hoped that the iced tea would replace my desire for the addiction of Dr. Pepper. Because I always thought the caffeine is the problem. So I don't drink a lot of other things. I drink water, probably not enough. But the caffeine, if I just could find another caffeine, I could kick the Dr. Pepper, right? Nah, it didn't happen. It didn't resolve my addiction. Well, recently my wife Phyllis brought something new home. I think it was a couple months ago. They're called Izzy Drinks. And they're sugar-free, caffeine-free, and no preservatives. So I tried a couple. You know, I'm always in the back of my head thinking, is there something I can find to get rid of the Dr. Pepper? Because I know I got to get rid of this bad habit. And soon I discovered that the Izzy Drinks have a small amount of carbonation in them. And I really wouldn't have figured out that my addiction really is to carbonation. I didn't figure it out, but my good friend Dave Zebchek, which is much smarter than I am, is the one who figured that out for me. And that's what was causing my addiction to Dr. Pepper. Now, I've always enjoyed the flavor of Dr. Pepper, but there's many other foods, many other drinks that I enjoy the flavor of. But I'm not addicted to them. I can take them and I can leave them. But the Dr. Pepper had a stranglehold on me, just like the foreign gods of Israel. And it was because of the carbonation. Well, I've had Dr. Pepper 3 times since I started drinking Izzy Drinks. And the great urge has not reoccurred for me to go back and drink Dr. Pepper. The other good thing is I don't drink a lot of the Izzy Drinks. It's like I mentioned, it's something I enjoy. I like the flavor. I maybe drink 3 or 4 a week, sometimes less than that. And now I can officially tell you, you've heard it here first, I am now a social Dr. Pepper drinker with a balance instead of a Dr. Pepperaholic. But why do I say this? Why do I bring this up? It's because this is an example of why we need to examine ourselves spiritually and ask God to show us our weaknesses so that we can repent of them. We all have many addictions to sin, as I was to Dr. Pepper, as Israel was to foreign gods. And just as Israel, like I mentioned, was to foreign gods. Sorry, I got ran ahead of my notes there. But once we realized what the addiction is, or that we have an addiction, we need to replace it. And we need to replace, just like we need to replace the old self with the new. We need to replace bad habits or sin with good habits or obedience to God's law. Let's turn to the book of Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, we're going to read verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, I mentioned that I tried to stop drinking Dr. Pepper, going cold turkey. I didn't have anything to replace it with. Israel refused to replace their foreign gods with the true God. We need to, if we can replace the old man with the new, get rid of the old leaven with unleavened, that's what brings that rest and that freedom in our lives. Because when we become close to God like that, we have that rest, the rest that he promised Israel, the freedom of everything that can bother us. But we have to be close to God to have it. There's no other way. If we do not replace the bad habits with something, then we're just going to go back to them. Idleness and avoid does not solve the problem. We must constantly be in control of our mind and our time. And we need to have God included in both of those. If we don't, we have an invisible friend out there that is more than happy to fill the void in our thoughts and our time. And I can guarantee you, he will fill our time and our lives with so many distractions and so many addictions, we'll become just like Israel. We will forget who our true God is. Because he'll put so many things in. We have so many things living where we live, especially in this time in history. Just the electronic devices we have, so many of them are very beneficial. Let's take a cell phone, for example. They're very beneficial. 15 years ago, nobody had cell phones, hardly. But they're very beneficial. But it takes us a long time to learn how to use them, doesn't it? And when something goes wrong, it takes a long time to figure out what's going wrong with them. And we're not just happy with having a phone. A cell phone is a mini computer in our pocket. It can do all kinds of things. I used to tease my friends before I started to have one that, hey, do you have an app that can change your tire? And so all these distractions can really tie up our time. There's one more example that I want to discuss, which is a recent news event that occurred. I'm sure most of you heard about this. But the widow of Navy SEAL William Owens. He was honored by the president when he gave his first speech to Congress on Tuesday night. It was a very touching and somber moment. The president gave great honor to William, who was a fallen SEAL. He was killed in action on January 27th in a raid involving Yemen. William was honored, and his widow was recognized with a 2-minute applause by the entire Congress. And what was so touching, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you go see it. Because this poor woman, she has three children. And the president spoke such soft, loving words to her. He told her how America would never forget her husband, ever. And she stood there and she cried. She was so tearful of appreciation. I knew this was going to be trouble. It almost tore my heart out to watch her. It was one of the greatest moments of appreciation I've ever seen given to someone. And the president, even though he doesn't know the truth, I mean, he tried to use a spiritual saying to make her feel better, that he's up there watching down on her, and we're not going to forget you. And he sees us, and we're so thankful. I haven't seen anything like that in a really long time in that kind of a setting. Unfortunately, there's another side to this. Because we've seen far too many other widows and family members honored this way. As gracious as this event was, and I take nothing away from this event. And I am so thankful that she was honored in this way. I mean, she was standing there almost praying and just humbly thanking the crowd. But we must realize this whole event is caused by Satan. Because Satan breeds war, and the death of many are the result of war. We all appreciate the sacrifices our military performs to protect all of us and our freedoms. But we can never forget 60 million people died in World War II. 60 million. Can you fathom that amount of people if you lined them all up? That is not peace, and that is not freedom. Now, the fact that the Allies won brought a type of peace and freedom for a while to the world. But it's not the peace and freedom that God wanted to give to the nation of Israel or to give to us. Because shortly after the war was over, the Cold War started. Different skirmishes started. Many died in the Vietnam War. And now we have Islamic terrorists attacking people all over the world. All because of an ideology, which I don't even think they understand what they're doing. But the threat is there. There is no peace, and there is no freedom. Satan's ultimate goal is to completely destroy the human race. You all know that. And at the end of the World War II, atomic weapons were used to end the war by dropping two bombs on Japan. In every war in history, there's always been more people that survived than were killed in the war, even when 60 million were killed in World War II. But after World War II was over, that no longer is the case, is it? The world now has the capability to destroy the entire human race many times over. And this power is in the hands of at least one extremely unstable government, which is North Korea. There's others, but certainly they are the most unstable with that capability. But one thing we have is we have the promise that Satan's evil, and I really mean evil plan, will not succeed. Because Christ will return before humanity gets completely exterminated by the next great war. And why is that promise there? It's because of all of you. And me, and all the other people that are around the world that are obeying God, God's elect. That's the promise, because of God's elect, he will save mankind from total annihilation. Godly peace and freedom is the absolute absence of war. They can't coexist together. It's God's master plan that God has waiting for each of us now. This time, it will be eternal life, not just a physical nation like Israel had, not a physical promised land. We're the first fruits. We are part of that master plan that God ordained or outlined for Israel. We are to become the priests and the rulers that he talked about for Israel. And God, and we will follow Christ's lead in that government. Joshua became God's servant. He was originally an assistant to Moses. So let's turn back to the book of Joshua one more time. We're going to read Joshua 1:1. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. When Joshua started out, he was only the assistant to Moses. We all start out in our spiritual life as an assistant, don't we? Now let's go to Joshua chapter 24. And this is the last verse for today. Joshua 24, and we're going to read verse 29. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. So Joshua in his lifetime went from the assistant to the servant of God. Well, we grow into becoming a full-fledged servant of God, as Joshua did. That's the challenge to all of us today. Can we make the leap as Joshua did? Are we turning the corner on our spiritual lives to completely have complete submission to God, which is so challenging? It is not an easy task, but that's what it's going to take. Or do we still cling to other gods like Israel did? And as I mentioned, our gods today, our materialism and distraction. It's such a challenge. When you think about Israel wandering through the wilderness, they didn't have all these distractions we have today. It is so easy to get caught up in all these things and just forget to pray, forget to study, to forget about the prayer request. And there's been many prayer requests that we've had, serious prayer requests. We've had people in terrible accidents, terrible health situations. We have one family in Cincinnati that a tornado hit their house and destroyed much of it. There are so many things to pray about and focus on God, but we got to keep the distractions as much as we can out of our lives. We can receive that rest and that freedom now. We can receive it today if we just heed Joshua's declaration. As for me and my house, we shall worship the Lord.